The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, went up the mountain, and sat down there. Great crowds came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others. They placed them at his feet, and he cured them. The crowds were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the deformed made whole, the lame walking, the blind able to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Jesus summoned his disciples and said, "My heart is moved with pity for the crowd, for they've now been with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. I don't want them to be sent away hungry for fear they may collapse on the way." The disciples said to him, "Where could we ever get enough food in this deserted place to satisfy such a crowd?" Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" "Seven," they replied, "and a few fish." He ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, gave thanks, broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples, who in turn gave them to the crowds. They all ate and were satisfied. They picked up the fragments left over, 7 baskets full. The Gospel of the Lord. There are 2 fundamental sets of coordinates for Advent. First is what we call the double dynamism. Christ comes quickly toward us, and we hasten forth to meet him. And then the second, that Christ comes to us in history, mystery, and majesty, in Bethlehem, in the sacraments, in his word, and for the second judgment at the parousia, in his second coming at the parousia. And we're supposed to meet him in each of those 3 ways. And today, the church has us on this 4th day of Advent focus on how the Lord comes to meet us, and we're supposed to go meet him in this 3-fold banquet. That the encounter that we're going to have with the Lord is going to take on, not exclusively, but truly, the aspect of a meal. Jesus was born in Bethlehem at a place literally called House of Bread. And it's first that the Lord sets a table for us, as Isaiah prophesies in this first reading, in the middle of the world, our normal tables. The Lord tries to give us choice, rich foods, and great wines. Every time we turn to the Lord and say, "Give us today our daily bread," every time we put into practice the psalm that says, "The hand of the Lord feeds us, he gives us our food in due season," the Lord is asking that that be an image of his coming to feed. Second, is we know that banquet on a mountain is meant to lead to the Last Supper, where the Lord encounters us in the sacraments, and we're supposed to hasten forth to meet him there. And the third is the eternal wedding banquet, where he's going to come like the bridegroom to take us as bride to that unending feast. Isaiah, in prophesying that feast, was prophesying all 3. Today in the Gospel, we see the first, in which Jesus feeds us in a natural way, that he has that type of compassion on us. But it's supposed to point to the other 2. That's the 3-fold dynamism of Advent, and the Lord wishes to feed us in each. I didn't use the prayer for St. John of Damascene today, because today's collect for Wednesday of the first week of Advent is so important. It says that when we come to encounter Christ, we ask the Father for the grace to be found worthy of the eternal banquet so that we might receive heavenly nourishment from the Lord's hands. And the Lord gives us that nourishment with his own hands in these threefold dimensions. How do we respond when he comes to feed us in this way? We see that when Jesus comes, he doesn't make it too easy. He puts some work involved. It's a great theme of the Lord's interaction with his creatures. So today, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and there were great crowds following him, with the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and many others, Jesus didn't stay down there by the sea. He climbed up a mountain so that all those who were handicapped in any way needed to follow him up that mountain. And it was there that he cured them one by one. He came near, but he also wanted, by faith, us to journey. So the Lord always put some work into it. Sometimes we might want the refrigerator packed with everything, and he might want us to go day to day. Sometimes there's a struggle for this nourishment. In the responsorial psalm today, before we get to that banquet where the Lord prepares for us in verdant pastures, this overflowing table with overflowing drink, he wants us to walk with him through a dark valley. Sometimes he challenges us so that we'll have greater hunger, greater receptivity for the way that he wishes to nourish us. Likewise, for the eternal banquet, he might make us suffer quite a bit. But the Lord, that good shepherd, continues to guide us in this way, but he wants us to be able to make that effort, because that is an effort that flows from faith. We see two qualities that we're supposed to have in Advent in today's gospel reading. The first is humility. So we've got to recognize that the Lord comes to us because we are lame, blind, deformed, and mute. Sometimes we don't follow him because we've got one handicap or another that keeps us down, immobile. Sometimes we don't see him. Other times we're misshapen. We need to be reformed. Sometimes we don't speak to him or about him to others. And the Lord comes to nourish us with heavenly food from his hand, to heal us in these ways. Second is we need charity. It's not just about us in Advent. How incredible it was for those who were carrying or guiding their handicapped friends and siblings and children and parents to Jesus. What they received from him on that mountain, we similarly need to bring others to the Lord in each of these three ways. Jesus is constantly saying, when you throw a banquet, invite the very people with these characteristics to your table. The church puts the Eucharistic feast before everyone. And in a special way, we care for those who are disabled. And in the eternal banquet, the last shall be first. Someone who grasped these mysteries, lived them, and tried to help others to live them is St. John of Damascus, a great 8th century monk who was intrepid in defending the faith at a time in which many were blind to seeing God behind the icons. They had been infected, frankly, with some Islamic strains. The Muslims don't have any images whatsoever of God or any of God's holy ones, not even Muhammad. So that was infiltrating various places like Syria. So there was the iconoclastic heresy in which they were destroying so many of the images because they misunderstood the second commandment you shall not have graven images. What God was talking about there was you can't make calves out of gold and you can't make other animals out of one substance or another and then worship them as God. The incarnation was all about God's making himself an image. The icon of the invisible God was Jesus incarnate in Mary's womb and then arms. And so for us to depict Jesus after God had shown his love in a human face was not contrary to God's will, but it was a ferocious controversy, and John helped the church to win. And what the Second Council of Nicaea said definitively was, through the sign we're able to get to the signified. They were not praying to a piece of wood with paint on it. We're praying to the one depicted, and that there is a connection between the image and the one imagined. And it is a sure vehicle when we approach with faith. This shift between sign and signified is essential for the banquets. Every time we have a meal, the Lord wants us to go to the one who has extended that with his generous hand. Every time we come to the Eucharist, of course, we're supposed to see God behind the appearances. And through the big sacrament of the Mass and everything in the church, we're meant to go from that sacrament, an efficacious sign, to what it will effectively bring about, which is heaven. So St. John Damascene's whole project of taking us from sign to God is still so much needed. We no longer have an iconoclastic heresy in which people are destroying images. But what we still have is that blindness to go from the things that God has given us through our senses to him. Many people can come to Mass and leave unimpacted. Many people have feasts every day, and they approach it like the rich man in Luke 16, without seeing God as a part of it. Now they're called to share. And many people, because of all of the little hopes in this world, can't get to that great hope of that eternal banquet that God has set for us. So we need to bring those who are blind and lamed and deformed and mute to God through each of these three means by which God hastens to encounter us. Today at this Mass, we rejoice that God has set this forth. This is a fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied. This is a fulfillment of what Jesus did on the mountainside. And this is a foretaste of the fulfillment of the opening prayer of today's Mass we said with faith.